Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Podcaster and author of Money, A Story of Humanity, David McWilliams, good morning.
Brendan, good morning to you.
So David, you've been writing that we need to have an honest conversation about the housing crisis and immigration. Do you think we're not having that conversation honestly?
I think, Brendan, we're not having the conversation because the conversation is difficult. It's tricky. There's no real easy answers. And, you know, Irish people don't really like to have difficult conversations. We sometimes prefer to see the world as we'd like it to be, but not as it is. So I think what's happened with the immigration discussion is that over the last couple of years, immigration has risen. But around the same time, the state's capacity to execute anything seems to have fallen. So you have these two forces. In terms of the state's capacity, since the pandemic, public spending has increased by about 47%. Most people haven't seen anything. There's no big infrastructure. There's no roads. There's very few houses. And of course, the key thing is the number of houses we can build in every 1 year, vis-a-vis the number of people who are coming here. Now, I think...
Okay, so you've been looking at those numbers. Yeah. And look, before we continue with this, we should say that, like, even in Money, A Story of Humanity, your new book, you are very pro-migration and you are very pro-diverse societies and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But you've been crunching data here and looking at the old-fashioned notion of supply and demand.
I know. And look, what I want to say, it is not the fault of an immigrant family from, let's say, Philippines who answer a call from the HSE for, let's say, a radiographer and a nurse. It is not their fault that when they come here, we don't have enough houses for them. It is the fault of our system's inability to actually say, OK, what can the state do here? What can the construction industry do here? So in order to look at that and basically have a discussion that's not really on emotions, it's based more on data, not really feelings, it's based more on fact. You try and look at what is going on in the country.
Okay, so walk me through the numbers as you see them.
So basically the demand for houses is a function of four things in Ireland. The first thing is what we call the natural rate of increase of the population, which is deaths minus births, or births minus deaths. And that's running at about 20,000 people per year. So it's about 55,000 births and about 35,000 deaths. So that's the first, that's 20,000 people. The second factor is a thing called obsolescence, which is the amount of old buildings that exist in Ireland that need to be torn down and need to be replaced. There's about 150,000 Irish people live in homes that are over 100 years old. There's about 2 million homes in the country. So if you put the obsolescence rate at about 0.5%, that means we require about 7,000 houses just to fill that gap. But the third thing and the most important thing for us to get our heads around is family size. So, Brendan, when you and I were kids, probably, you know, there was three kids in our family, a mum and dad, maybe it was more in yours on our street. There was an average of about 6 people per house. That has fallen to about 2.5 people per house. So that means in a street of 100 people, in the old days, you needed about 17 houses. Today, you need about 40. So that's a hugely crucial factor as Irish families have got much smaller, more single people living together, etc., less children, right? And then, of course, you take the variable of immigration. So if you add the number of people in the natural increase and you add obsolescence, that's about 8,000 houses needed for the natural increase, about 7,000 houses needed for obsolescence every year just to stay still. And we're building 35,000 houses. That's all. We only built 33,000 houses last year. So it means there's only 15,000 houses left in the country to house everybody else. And that's where we have to focus. Like, I think that all our economic policy now, everything, GDP, direct investment, all that stuff, has to be focused on the North Star of house prices. Getting house prices stable, bringing house prices down, making them affordable. Every policy has to, including your immigration policy.
Okay. So look, a lot of our immigrants are returning Irish people, EU, UK citizens who are entitled to come. We have obligations around asylum seekers. So what part of immigration can we control?
So if you look, there's look again. It's I know this is numbers heavy on a Saturday morning, but bear with me. There was about 149,000 people came to the country last year. That's a dramatic increase from what was the case about 10 years ago. Of those people, about 30,000, as you said, are returning Irish. About 30,000 are EU citizens, and about 5,000 are British citizens, all of whom are covered by various treaties and various accessibilities, etc. So that leaves a figure of about 80,000 odd of people who are here on work visas and on asylum seekers. Now, if we want, this is the really harsh reality, if we want house prices to remain where they are, which is already crazily elevated, we need to understand that there is a relationship between the amount of people who are looking for a house and the price of houses. If the state can't expand or doesn't want to expand or is unwilling to expand the amount of houses here, then they have to look at making the whole thing consistent. And by that, I mean thinking, look, if every time a immigrant family come here, that pushes up the price of houses, young Irish are leaving, well, then is there a number or a range of numbers that we can light on and fix on right now to make sure that house prices remain stable? And that, I think, is where the data comes in. Because, as you know, Brendan, there are people in this country who believe that any amount of immigrants is too little. There's also people in the country who believe that any amount of immigrants is far too many. And I think the middle ground, most of us kind of sit in the middle. We see immigrants every day. We see them in the hospitals. We see them everywhere. We also have a feeling that you alluded to at the top of proximity. We have emigrated, our parents have emigrated, our grandparents, etc. So we understand the leaving home. But I think it's also essential to look at the facts and say the state has been irresponsible in not accelerating construction industry's ability to build houses. As a result, the people who are paying for that are the younger people who are paying through the nose in rents and in high house prices, many of whom are leaving. We okay. know there's about 60,000 people leaving every year, maybe a little bit more. And when they leave, Brendan, the interesting thing is because they're young Irish people, they don't leave a house and then leave their house available. They tend typically to leave a box room. So there's no change in the housing supply. So what I'm saying is I think it will do us a power of good to begin the process of having these data and evidence-based discussions, try and take the emotion out of it, try and take the heat out of the discussion, try and shed some sort of light on the discussion, and go back to this idea that housing supply and housing demand at some stage have to equal each other or around, approximate to each other in order for house prices, which is the objective, to remain or to be, not even to remain, to be vaguely affordable to the average citizen of the country.
Okay, so look, the one that we can probably exert control over is work permits. I see
yeah, work permits, yeah.
38,000 of them given out last year. I suppose the issue there is, you've alluded to healthcare workers. If we cut down on allowing foreign workers to come in here to do specific jobs, are we not, A, do we not need them in our healthcare, etc.? B, are we not going to jeopardise foreign investment into Ireland?
I mean, again, what I said at the start is this stuff is all tricky. There are no easy answers at all. There's no sort of magic wand you can wave and say, that's going to solve everything. You're absolutely right. Everyone recognises, not just in the health system, but the health system is where you're seeing frontline workers, foreign workers doing extraordinary jobs. The question, I suppose, is this idea is that to govern is to choose. You have to make a choice. And if the choice is we want house prices to remain at the level they are now and not go even more stratospheric and not lose more people because they're moving away because their quality of life isn't, again, I'm talking about young Irish people, what we need to do is figure out, is there a number? Now, slow things down for a year or two. Say, well, maybe the figure isn't 80,000 or 60,000. Maybe the figure is 40,000 or 35,000. And what we do then is we make the Department of Immigration talk to the Department of Housing, talk to the Department of Health, talk to the Department of Transport. This is, Brendan, this is all macroeconomic planning.
So are you, Are you kind of saying that, though, if we go back to the FDI thing, are you kind of saying we need to deliberately stop growing the economy?
I think basically Ireland is a rich economy that thinks like a poor economy. And by that, I mean we're obsessed by pushing, selling, and the accelerator. We're obsessed by accelerating. There comes a time where responsible government is a government that says, hold on a second, all this growth, when the foreign direct investment comes in and then we require 500 workers for here and 1,000 workers for here, but we don't have them. So you have to import those workers. You basically put an ad and you allow people to come in. Those people come in, that pushes up house prices dramatically. And all we're doing is creating the environment for multinationals to make much more money. But the people who pay are the people who have to try and afford out of their incomes to pay rent and at some stage maybe to plan for the future by buying a house and having some sort of stake in society.
So, are you suggesting that we have a complete change to our economic model? Because, like, you and I both know, having lived through the last decades, and inward investment has been central to transforming this country.
Completely. I agree with you completely. It's been absolutely transformative. But there comes a stage where you say, OK, for the next 5 years or so, what we need to do is build 70,000 houses a year. How do we do that? What are the impediments to that? And that needs to be, well, you were talking about, you and I were young fellas. Remember, unemployment was the only policy that mattered. Bringing down unemployment, you've got to identify your problem and fix it. That's the essence of governance. I identify what is the anxiety of your people, fix that, and move on.
So housing needs moment, to be, everything else needs to take second place to housing.
Everything else needs to take second place. And this requires, to come back to the top of the discussion, that sort of honest, data-based, evidence-based discussion. And it doesn't mean that things dramatically have to change, but what it means is that we need to see that population is linked to houses, is linked to transport, is linked to education, is linked to health. Okay. And GDP growth cannot be a number which is so sacrosanct that everything else is subservient to it.
Okay. And look, I mean, we did see this week more money for water, energy, infrastructure and housing, and Q2 completions were up, the government would say. But I mean, I think you've certainly opened up a very interesting line of discussion there. And I'm sure that conversation is going to continue coming into more polite society, David, maybe. Okay. David McWilliams, podcaster and author of Money, A Story of Humanity. Thank you.